You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Christ saved us to preach the unsearchable riches of the gospel to everyone. Discover more about this truth in week 5 of our series on soteriology.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday, or can greet them Happy Easter. We are down to the fifth and last installment of our series called The Great Exchange. It's Easter Sunday. We celebrate the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that we worship and serve a God who didn't remain hanging on the cross? He's out there, out of the tomb, out of the cross. When you talk about the resurrection, it's actually the receipt or the validity of every single thing that he has claimed himself to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, it says here, if Jesus has not been raised, if Jesus didn't resurrect, then our preaching, your being a Christian is useless. Then it's okay for people to make fun of us, to persecute us, if Jesus didn't resurrect. But the fact stands that Jesus resurrected. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, here's what Paul strive to attain. He said, I want to know Jesus, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. As Christians, we understand that there is power in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But together with that is the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. We have been looking at the book of Ephesians the past 5 Sundays, and I don't know with you, but for me personally, even if I'm the one preaching here in a 5 p.m. service, I want to let you know that this series has been life-changing for me personally. I've had the opportunity to really dig into the book of Ephesians. And today is the fifth week of looking into this. We've looked at Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and today we're down with the last installment, not the last chapter. We don't really have time to cover everything. But like what I said, the book of Ephesians, if you look at the first three chapters are basically the doctrinal teachings that Paul gave the Ephesian church. The last three chapters, found in chapters 4, 5, and 6, are actually the practical application of every single thing that Paul was teaching. I need to get into this because we will be reading quite a lengthy scripture here today. We are looking at Ephesians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 1 and we'll just comb through down to verse 13. Let me just read this for everyone. It says here, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in former or other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by virtue of the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, it says here, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the believers, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. Verse 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized and fulfilled in Christ Jesus our Lord. In verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So, Ephesians, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Just for us to work on a theme for the book of Ephesians, specifically Ephesians chapter 3. We've looked at the book of Ephesians extensively so far. There's a lot of great things that we have understood so far. Just to have a theme for the book of Ephesians chapter 3 specifically, I want us to understand this, at least this part of the book, is about the mystery and the mission that we have. The mystery that has been revealed by God through Jesus Christ, and the mission that we have, recipients of that revealed mystery. the mission that we have in this world in our generations. Well, let's look at verse 1. First thing that I want us to understand, it says here, as Paul is writing this, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul," take note, this is a letter. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles." I think it's rather obvious, but let me just establish it clearly here, that we're talking about someone who is a prisoner. I've never been in prison. I don't desire to be in one. Every time I talk to someone who's been in prison, and every time I watch a movie about prison, I would easily come into a conclusion that prison is not a good place to be in. Food is not good. It's worse than dorm food. Prison is a crazy place to be in. A lot of people would want to commit suicide while they are in prison because of depression, because of sadness. I want us to understand that if you look at the letter of Paul, there's no tone of sadness in his letter despite him being in prison. Like what I said 2 Sundays ago, he might be physically in chain, but he's more free spiritually, emotionally than most people who are actually free physically. First thing that has to be established here is that we're talking about someone who is in prison. But what is added here is what he says next. He says, yes, he is a prisoner, but he says he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. That is quite odd because the truth of the matter is he was imprisoned by the Roman guards, by his captors. He didn't acknowledge the presence or him being in prison because of his captors, but he says, I am in prison because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a powerful statement. If you try to change that prison into persecution, if you try to change that prison into suffering, if you're suffering any kind of persecution or any forms of suffering as a Christian, it's good for us to say that I am suffering and I am being persecuted because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul might be in shackles at that time, but instead of spending his time being lonely, being depressed, like many of us here in our generation right now, konting kurot lang depressed agad, too soft because of these crazy things that's happening to us, instead of him focusing on his shackles, he looks and fixes his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he counts it a privilege to actually be imprisoned for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you have heard this saying that there is blessing in obedience. Scripturally, that's right. Logically, that's also right. If you obey, there's actually blessing in that. Just think about your parents for a while. Remember when you were little kids? If you obey, you get ice cream. If you disobey, you don't get ice cream. It's as simple as that. There is blessing in obedience. That is not the case for Paul. Because sometimes obedience gets us in trouble. So yes, there is blessing in obedience. It's a matter of understanding how you qualify what blessing is. Because you might be suffering right now, and it doesn't look like a blessing, but because your character is being built, your patience is being built, you don't know that that is actually a blessing over your life. A lot of times, because of our obedience, it gets us in trouble. If you're the only Christian in the classroom, you're the only Christian in the workplace, you stand by your conviction, you stand by your integrity, sometimes you lose the perks, you lose some friends. It's a picture of persecution, it's a picture of prison, but nonetheless, because you do it for the Lord Jesus Christ, you count it as a joy for you and for the honor that you're bringing to God. Whenever we talk about obedience, there's a consequence of disobedience. For the parents here, you understand what we're talking about. If your kids disobey something, there's consequence. When you were little kids, you did some foolish stuff. What's the most crazy things that you did? I mean, remember my brother, our eldest, he was just being foolish. He realized in his own thinking, he was looking at our dining area light. When my dad puts this bulb in the socket, he turns on the light. So what if I put my finger, someone turns on the switch, I might light up. So guess what? He actually did that. And that's one of the craziest things that ever happened in his life. Sometimes we do crazy things, and the consequence of disobedience is that we get hurt. Sometimes we also get hurt as a result of obedience. For those of you who loves listening to prosperity preaching, prosperity gospel, read the New Testament, you're going to understand that the New Testament is about persecution, about hardship, about suffering, and about perseverance amidst all of these things, even about poverty sometimes. And sometimes it's because of the result of our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We count it as a joy if we understand the purpose of our suffering. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, I am here because of you. Because I am a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles, that is precisely the reason why I am in chains right now. In light of our eternity, our present problems, our butt hiccups, whatever problem that you may be encountering right now, always have the perspective of Paul, the perspective of eternity, God's perspective over our situations. That will encourage us in many of our trials and hardships. Let's go to verse 2. It says here, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given for me to you. I want us to look at the word stewardship for a while. The word stewardship here in other translations is the word administration. The primary job description of Adam in the garden was to be a good steward. If you look at the environmental degradation that we're encountering right now, it's because of our lack of stewardship. Stewardship and administration involves one word, and that is the word responsibility. So this is what we're talking about here. Stewardship and administration here involves responsibility. He says here, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace. Now, it talks about stewardship and administration of God's grace. You administer, you steward God's grace. It says here, from me for you. It's basically discipleship. So every time you do Victory Group, you preach the gospel, you do one-to-one with someone, it's a stewardship of God's grace over other people. It's basically the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility, our basic Christian responsibility to go out there, preach the gospel, and disciple people. And that is administering God's grace. That is the responsibility, not just of pastors, but of every single person out there who consider themselves Christians. Discipleship is stewardship of God's grace. In verses 3 to 4, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you have read this, you can perceive my insight into the Christ. It says further, it was mentioned first, second time. If you go further, it says here, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It gives us a picture that there was a mystery, and this mystery, according to what Paul was telling the Ephesian church, was kept from the previous generation. And in our generation, according to him, it's being revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about this mystery for a while. The mystery that we're talking about here is not the same as the mystery movies that we watch on cable TV, on Netflix, and all of these platforms. It's a different kind of mystery. So I want to talk about this for a while. What is this mystery? For us to understand what this mystery is, we will have to backtrack a little bit from last Sunday's preaching and look into the preaching of Martin and Tom as they started talking about the differences between the Jewish people and the Gentiles. I want to set the record straight here today. Is there anyone in this room who has a Jewish blood? Anyone here who considers yourself a Gentile? I think it's very clear that everything you talk about a Gentile, we're talking about ourselves. Let's talk about the Jewish people and the Gentile people. I think it's very clear none of us here have any Jewish blood. Let's go to what Paul says about Jewish people. That's rather staggering. He starts writing to the Romans about the benefits of being a Jew or being an Israelite. In Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, says, then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Here's his answer. Much in every way. That's what he says. He starts writing to the Roman Christians. He says, is there an advantage in being Jewish? His answer is much in every way. Let me borrow the illustration that was given last week. If you remember, Tom Martin started talking about the most powerful passports in the world. The most powerful passport in the world is a passport holder from Singapore and Japan. Tied at number one. So if you're Japanese or you are Singaporean, your passport is so powerful that you don't have to apply for a visa anywhere you go in the world. Except maybe North Korea. 160 countries, you can go to those nations visa-free. So it's a powerful passport simply because they have the perks of being a Singaporean citizen. If you look at where the Philippines rank, we're actually ranking somewhere in the bottom. We're not really in the bottom, but almost near the bottom. We can only travel to, I think, 63 nations visa-free. Why is that so? Because we love doing TNT. We go for a vacation and we don't ever come back. That is what TNT basically means, tago ng tago. That's the perks that you have as a Singaporean citizen, as a Japanese citizen. So what Paul was essentially saying is that if you are an Israelite, if you are a Jewish citizen, there are perks and benefits and blessings that other people do not have. Being a child of Abraham, according to the flesh, that is being Jewish, has its benefit. I started looking at this last night and I realized Paul actually enumerated some of the benefits or the blessings of being a Jewish person. Romans chapter 9, verses 45, here's what he says. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Furthermore, he says in verse 5, to them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. I started writing that down, and I realized there's 8 blessings or benefits the Jewish people have that other people do not have, or Gentiles do not have. Benefits of being Jewish according to Romans 9, verses 4 to 5. Number one is adoption. And this is not talking about salvation. This adoption here is the fact that they are chosen by God. Out of the many nations in the world, God could have chosen Philippines. God could have chosen the Filipinos, the Thais, the Koreans, the Japanese. But God didn't choose any of this nation. He chose the Israelites. Another one here is the glory. But the glory that we're talking about here is the manifest presence of God. During their time, it was not just the Israelites who have religious sanctuaries, but for some reason, God chose to manifest His glorious presence in the tabernacle of the Israelites. The third thing that I want us to understand here is the covenant. God made a covenant with Moses, with Abraham, with David. And this covenant made with them has a ramification that the people all over the world, the reason why we're here is because of the covenant that God made with Abraham, with all of his patriarchs. Another one is the giving of the law. You wouldn't know if you're really sizing up. You wouldn't know how sinful you are or how good you're doing without the law. Other people will just guess if we're doing right before God. For the Israelites, they know for a fact if they've fallen short of God's glory. Another thing here is worship. That's part of the covenant. They can worship every tribe that you go. Even if you go inside the crater of a volcano, you go inside Mount Talinis, you start swimming there, and you realize there's a new tribe there that has not been discovered. You're going to realize one thing. Even if they don't have any contact with humans, you realize that they start worshiping rocks, started worshiping coconuts, or whatever it is that they can worship. But for the Israelites, they have the privilege of worshiping the one true God. Of course, promises. We have a lot of friends who promise us a lot of things. Promise tikaw ba? Libre yung tikaw moon cafe. Kahit food net, hindi ka malibre-libre. Puro broken promises. Now come to think of this. We're talking about a nation to whom God has given His promise and God is a promise keeper. And not just that, patriarchs. You guys, Filipinos, we love saying these things. Wala ka sa lolo ko. Wala ka sa lola ko. Kasi si lola ko ganito. Don't ever do that to Israelites. Because they'll tell you, wala ka sa lolo Abraham ko. Wala ka sa lolo Moses ko. They have this lineage that they can always be proud of. They're coming from the stack of Abraham. These guys are chosen by God. Of course, the last one is out of their lineage came the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why do not ever believe anyone who claims, even in the Philippines, whether it's Davao or wherever, if someone claims to be the Lord Jesus Christ, do not believe those people because we understand that Jesus Christ came from the lineage of the Israelites. These are the 8 benefits of being Jewish, but the primary or chief privilege of the Jewish people is found in the verses that we've read a while ago. It says here, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. Yes, they have the glory, the adoption, the covenant, the giving of the law, but more than that, they were entrusted by God. Given to them was the oracle of God. When we say the oracles of God, we're talking about their possession of God's word. Why is that important? Because the only means of revelation to the Gentiles are nature and conscience. Because we depend on God's revelation to us through general revelation, through nature and conscience. We don't have any special revelation by means of the scripture. No special revelation means no absolute knowledge of God's mercy and grace. That is why Filipinos would do this during Holy Week, because they do not understand this. They do not understand the full gravity of what Christ has done on the cross, and they feel like it is not enough. That's why they have to nail themselves and do penance. If you understand this, you don't have to do all of these things. And that is the problem with the Gentile world. We don't have an idea of the massive and immense greatness of God's mercy and God's grace for our lives. Going back to the Jewish and the Gentiles, they have a crazy prayer, Jewish people. To a certain extent, you might feel like, man, these guys are a little arrogant because they have a stance that will really insult you. If you're around them, specifically during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was such great enmity between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. One of the prayers, specifically of the Pharisees, are these prayers. Yahweh or God, thank you that I'm Jewish and I'm not a Gentile. Di ba medyo bastos ng konti, di ba? Di ba? Tapos nakatingin pa yun, Lord, thank you, Jewish ako, hindi ako Gentile. That is how they view themselves. There's such a cultural and racial superiority because they understand where they're coming from. Now let's talk about our line. That's Jewish. Let's talk about Gentile people now. Gentiles were called Goyims. Here are some of the facts about Gentile people. First, they are not from the stock of Abraham. Anyone here loves breeding dogs? There's a difference between a pure breed and an Askal. Every time you cross, it loses its value. The Gentile people, Filipinos, Koreans, Thais, every single non-Jewish people out there, we are not from the stock of Abraham. We are from the stock of whom? Andres Bonifacio, Jose Rizal, Lapu-Lapu. Yan po yung lolo natin, Lapu-Lapu. Of course, Gentile people are non-Jewish. They are called unclean. You guys remember that when Jesus said, why am I supposed to throw or get the food from the table and throw it to the dogs? You know why is that? So because Jewish people, culturally, would refer to Gentiles or non-Jewish people as dogs or the uncircumcision group. Just imagine the insult. Imagine the hostility. Imagine there's a group of Jewish people here, tapos naglakad ka, narang irubay. We're considered unclean. We don't belong. You guys ever felt like you don't belong in a certain circle? We don't belong. We don't know what's happening. We're just cut off from all of these things. Not just that. The Gentiles are considered enemies of God and His people. They don't have knowledge of God and was denied unless they become proselytes, unless they convert themselves into becoming Jewish, or rather, converting themselves to Judaism. The religious stance of the Jewish people were actually attractive to the Gentile world. But because of the fact that they are Gentiles, the Jewish people would make an exclusivity on what they have and they will just cast out these people. You don't have any business in knowing our God. That is basically how it is. There are also children born of mixed marriages were considered bastards. Bastard is not a curse word. It simply means to say that someone has no parents or no father. That is why, if you remember, when Jesus started associating himself with a Samaritan woman, a lot of eyebrows were raised because Jewish people were not supposed to associate with half-Jewish people, with Samaritans. That is how they take pride in themselves as Jewish people. Imagine this, Jewish people, they hate, to a certain extent, the Gentile world. The Gentile world naman, the Greeks, the Romans at that time, because of the attitude of the Jewish people, hate them also so much. They hate the Jewish people so much, that's why they want to make fun of the Jewish people. Let's understand the context as to where the Jewish people were coming from. Of course, these people were subject to maltreatment during exile. Even during the time of Exodus, when they were maltreated by the Egyptian people, Nebuchadnezzar and his people maltreated the Jewish people. The Hellenization of the Jews. The Greeks wanted to Hellenize the Jewish world. They want the Jewish people to adapt the Greek culture. In fact, they were successful in doing that. During the time of Jesus Christ, the New Testament was written in Greek because Greek was the common language during that time. It is because of the Hellenization of the Jewish people. Another thing is the desperate struggle for independence. There was such a burning desire and a passionate desire for patriotism, for being Jewish. Going back to the question, what is this mystery? Now imagine this for a while. I have laid down the big discrepancy between Jewish people and the Gentile people. It gives us a picture that if you are Gentile, medyo kawawa ka. Kasi imagine you're considered a dog. Imagine that you don't have a knowledge of who God is. See, if you don't have a knowledge of who God is, you'll spend the rest of your life wondering who God is. But for the Jewish people, they know for a fact how to relate with the God that they worship. Now, what is the mystery here? Here's the answer. Here's what Paul was writing here. The mystery here is not the gospel. The gospel has already been revealed. The mystery here is this one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So the mystery that Paul was talking about is that these things right here, all these blessings, are for the Jewish people. That's how they understood it culturally at that time. The mystery is, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, is this one. These blessings right here can now belong to the Gentiles through the gospel. What is theirs can be ours. That is what Paul was saying here. There's a big possibility that the Gentile world cannot be considered a dog. The mystery is the inclusion of the Gentiles, the nations of the world, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Japan, Korea, Burkina Faso, Papua New Guinea, New Zealand, all of these nations in the world, the Gentile world, to the promises made to Israel. The inclusion, of course, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose of God. The mystery here was that God has been keeping this. Including the Gentile was not a response to a current situation. No, it has been the plan of God. When God was creating everything, the plan of God was that my eternal purpose is the Gentile world will share in the family of God. Filipinos, you know, God has seen you from eternity past, has elected you to be here, worshiping Him for who He is. The animosity and the enmity was confronted by the revelation of the mystery. That is why you can take this verse and you can teach this to other people, because this can also speak about divisiveness, that in the church, there's no class in the church. There can't be a church of black and white people or just rich people and poor people. It's for everyone. In fact, you can be a Christian and be a racist. Keyboard warriors in our generation right now trying to slur insults upon each other. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be involved in that. Especially in the church, of a church community like ours. Every time you think about gossiping about someone, always think that is a child of God. That is not a doll that you're talking about. That is someone that Christ has died for. The end of the day, we're basically all in this together. Of course, there's exclusivity here. This is hinged on something. The Gentiles are not grafted accidentally. This has been planned by God. That's why be grateful to God that you're here. That's why be grateful to God for the joy of your salvation. John Calvin says, the biggest tragedy is our ingratitude. That Christ has done this for us and we aren't grateful, and our life doesn't show any gratefulness for what Christ has done for us. This is hinged on something. There is a condition. This can only happen through the gospel. Only through the gospel. This was realized and fulfilled only through one man, not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, only through a man who claimed himself the Messiah when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one is crazy enough to say something like that. Check out history. No one is crazy enough to say, hey guys, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, absolutely no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was the only one who says that. And he starts saying, this was fulfilled only in the person of Jesus Christ. What do we have here? We get to understand that exclusivity was abolished, but exclusivity was also established. Exclusivity of the Jewish people was abolished, but exclusivity as to how the Gentile world can be grafted in was established, and that is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of God's promises are now dispensed to all Christ-following Gentiles. If you are a Christ follower, every time you read the Bible, you see all of these great and amazing promises by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross. You are a child of God. You are heirs together with Abraham. And those promises basically belong to you as well. It belongs to every single one of us. What are the content of the preaching of Paul here? The content of his preaching is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. First is that he starts preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know how you would know if you're worshiping someone who's not the real God? You would know if you're worshiping the fake God, if you can exhaust that God. In the years that you've been a Christian, if some of you have been a Christian for 35 years, 50 years, I want you to understand this. There are thousands of things about God that you will never fully understand. And that's what makes Him God. The unsearchable riches of His grace, the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never exhaust God in our lifetime. All we're looking for is that we look forward to the time when we're going to have an uninterrupted 24 hours, 7 days a week, communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. His second preaching was that the plan of the mystery hidden for ages. Whenever he starts preaching to the Gentiles, he starts telling them, this is what God told the Israelites. This is what God did for the Jewish people. This is what God did to the Jewish people during the time of the Exodus. Plot twist. This one's for you as well. He starts telling the Gentile world, you think it's for them that exclusivity is now abolished. It is now for you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the avenue for that preaching? What is the backdrop for that preaching? The avenue and the backdrop of that preaching is very simple. So that through the church, only through the church, we are the church. Bill Hybels once said that the hope of the world is the church. If the church will keep mum, if the church will not do something about the social things that are happening in our environment right now, if the church will hinder people from preaching the gospel, then we have failed in the mission that God has given us. The mystery was revealed to us. Our mission is very simple. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. What is the purpose of the preaching? Very simple. In verse 10, it says here, for the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. So you preach to Kazakhstan. That is why this is a preaching about cross-cultural missionary, cross-cultural missions also. You go to Kazakhstan, you go to Japan, you go to different nations, you preach the gospel. And here's what it says here. When you preach, the Bible says, you preach the manifold wisdom of God. And it got me thinking, what is the manifold wisdom of God? What is that wisdom that we have to preach? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. This is what wisdom is. It says here, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you preach the cross, you preach the wisdom of God in all corners of the world. The manifold wisdom of God is Jesus Christ Himself. I want to challenge every single one of us here. If you consider yourself a Christian, start preaching the gospel. I don't know what your jobs are, what your courses are, but I believe God has given you avenues and opportunities for you to preach the gospel to the people around you. For you to preach the gospel to the people around you. That is why 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says here, for the message of the cross is foolishness. It is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. It is the very power of God. It further says here, we preach the manifold wisdom of God to be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly place. That's quite interesting. You know why? The rulers and authorities here talks about the demonic influence around this. It's very simple. A person, a people group, a nation, a city where Christ is not known is a city that the devil owns. Every time you preach the gospel, this is on the natural aspect, but in the supernatural realm, lust is broken, gossiping is broken, attitudes are broken. Every single demonic influences that's holding people crippled, that's holding people shackled and in chains, every time you preach the gospel, chains get loosed, shackles get broken. That is if we start preaching the gospel. That the demonic influences of people in the city of Dumaguete, in Silliman Foundation, Norsu, Tanhai Bays, it will not have any repercussion to the people of these places when the group of people that God has entrusted the gospel with will start preaching the message of salvation. Where Christ is not known, the devil desires to own. The first verse that we've read, it says here, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, look at this one, on behalf of you Gentiles, that's quite crazy. He says, I am in prison on behalf of you. The last verse is verse 13, at least the last verse that we're looking at here. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Paul says in verse 1, I am in prison, I am suffering in behalf of you. In verse 13, he says, I am suffering for you. My suffering is for your glory. Why is it that you have to suffer for our glory? The Gentiles are drawn into the unsearchable riches of Christ through the suffering of the missionaries. I know of a lot of friends who've given up a comfortable life to be a missionary in Pakistan, a missionary in Afghanistan, and in the course of doing missionary work, Police people would come in, police would raid them. I remember when we were in Pakistan for 10 days, there are missionaries in Pakistan. Man, unbelievable person. He used to be a dancer on TV, Universal Motion, other, decided to become a cross-cultural missionary. Started becoming a missionary in Pakistan. When we were there, they would always prepare. Every Sunday's gathering like this one, they always have a birthday cake. So that when the police would knock, they start singing, "Happy birthday to you." So that they will not be in prison because of preaching the gospel. I just received a message yesterday. One of our missionaries gave her entire life for the purpose of preaching the gospel to the nations of the world. I got a message from her. She's currently our missionary in Yerevan. Just yesterday, 8:28 p.m., it says here, last month she was diagnosed, according to her, with urethral adenocarcinoma. She says it's a rare type of cancer. So rare that my urologist said there's no viable research about it yet. But despite the fact of having cancer, still in the field, will remain in the field, will keep preaching the gospel in the field. People are drawn from darkness into the light because of the suffering of the missionaries. That is what Paul was telling every single one of the Ephesians. I am in chain, but this is for your glory. Because of my suffering, you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you are here today because of someone. All of you are a result of someone's prayer. Be thankful to them. Support cross-cultural missionaries. Start praying for them. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the believers, of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let me just end with this one. Let it not remain a mystery. Preach the gospel. If you would want me to end this with an application for every single one of us, number one is this one. Every single one of us here, we don't have any excuse for us not to be able to preach the gospel. God has called you where you are right now so that He will use you to be the agent of change in your offices, to start preaching the gospel. And lastly, for every single one of us here, if we cannot go, we can always pray for the cross-cultural missionaries in the field, not just in the every nation world. Last week, I was in Manila. I got to meet Gigi, our former discipleship admin. First time to meet her in like more than a month. She's really popular in class. She's so popular. Everyone knows her. The moment you step inside the building, you ask where Gigi is, everyone knows Gigi. They start laughing at the mention of her name. I don't know why. But they just love Gigi. That's really crazy. But anyway, I started asking her, still the same Gigi. She feels like I'm gonna bite her or what. But you know, I ask her, "Gigi, can you stay put for a while? How are you doing?" She's so fine. I don't have the liberty to disclose this to everyone at the moment. But right now, she said, she already has a nation in mind. And we started talking about that nation, and that nation is a dangerous nation to be a cross-cultural missionary. And I asked her, "Are you sure about this?" With all gladness, she said, "I am so sure about God's calling over my life. No matter what it costs, whatever it takes, she's going to be in that nation in the next 2 years. And she's going to be one of our premier church planters in that part of the world. All because of an obedience to God's call for our life. We may not know what will happen down the road, but at the end of the day, to obey God's calling over our life to preach the gospel is actually a good thing."
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.